welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 8th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois will be here. Later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market. That with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment, not with today's agricultural news, but to talk to us a little bit about pledging your financial support to this radio station. The number to call, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support for the radio station that brings you agricultural programming 6 days a week. Hey, don't forget, at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's out of Kansas City. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The March wheat at 356 and three quarters, a nickel higher today. May futures at 368 and three quarters were up 5.5 cents. From Kansas City, March wheat finished 13 and three quarters higher at 426 and three quarters. From the corn pit in Chicago, March contract 221 and a quarter up 3 1/4. The May futures at 232, they were up 3.5 cents. And July futures at 240 and a quarter up 3 1/4. December corn 256 and a half, that finished 2 higher for the day. Soy complex now, March beans 578, they were up 4. May futures up 3 1/4 at $5.91 1/4, and July soybeans at 602 1/2, up 4 cents. November futures 614 were up 3. March bean meal 180.20, and they finished 350 higher. March bean oil down 13 at 22.15. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the March contract at 107.97 1/2, unchanged on the day. February live cattle at 91.72 1/2 were down 25, and the Feb lean hogs 72 1/2 cents lower today at 57.35.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We'll check in with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois in just a moment. Want to start this half hour out by checking in with your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, Dave Dickey, who is in Pledge Central. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, how was the meeting in Casey yesterday?
It was a terrific meeting. There was about 250 people there. They got a full day planning for potential changes in acreages in terms of woodland as opposed to farmland. Of course, a great AM 580 marketing panel as well.
Absolutely. And I was out this morning to a panel here in Urbana that was looking at carbon sequestering. So you and I have been out and about. There were about 200 people at that meeting this morning. And that actually still goes on for another hour here in Urbana. And I believe they go to Mount Vernon. That's an extension meeting tomorrow. Hey, look, the numbers are ringing already. That could be AM or FM. We sure hope it's in support of ag. The number to call, and the reason Dave is here, is because it's time now for you to pick up that phone and dial your pledge of financial support to this radio station. The number, Dave, is 217-244-9455. We'll get done with you very quickly. There's a challenge we're going to try to meet, and we'll talk to Paul Cooley in a moment.
And Rennie and Chuck Ehler have issued that challenge. They absolutely rely on AM 580's ag service. They think it's invaluable to all who's engaged in farming and agricultural business. And they say they will give $400 if we receive at least 50 pledges in support of AM 580 agriculture this week. The challenge issued yesterday already. We're at 26 phone calls toward meeting that goal. It would be great if in the next few minutes we can reach that 30 phone call level. We can do it with your phone call at 217-244-9455. Say, pledge at the $100 level. That's about a third of an acre of soybeans or about 40 bushels of corn, thereabouts. And tell the volunteer you would also like to receive our free weekly email agricultural letter. We give you a market advice each and every weekend. That free to you, a service to you. Just give them your email address as you're making your pledge. Over 1,700 listeners have already done so. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, Todd.
We'll check back with you a little bit later, Dave. Thanks much. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services dials in on us every Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural markets. He's here now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. I wanted to tell you I had more compliments about the Commodity Week show than in a long time. You know, Glenn Ring on there, and it was interesting, fun-filled evening there, and I wanted to pass that on to you.
Thank you much. You know, those last two shows this past week and the week before, and they're both up on the website if you want to go back and listen to them, were some really probably as good of shows as I can remember having in the last several months and maybe last year or so. A lot broader topics than just agriculture, but much more about the economy as a whole, and I really enjoyed doing those shows. And then, of course, there's the After the Bell segment that we sent out. That only went out on the newsletter, so you have to be signed up for that one, but it sure was a lot of fun, and you were in on the second one. Thanks much. We did not get your answer, and I called DBC this morning, by the way, and I know you're at it, so what was your answer? Paul asked the question, by the way. This week on Commodity Week, this past weekend, would you invest in an index fund? Now, we happen to be talking about DBC, but I think he was talking on the index funds in general. And I got one yes, one no, and then Paul asked the question, and we never got around to getting your answer. So,
I'll give you a quick one. The price is $23.45, and the original issue price was $25, so you would have a loss on. I tell you what, Todd, these are this is designed for a situation in which you know, like the high tech funds. It's for a limited risk type of adventure, and it's really pro energy and things like that. If I had my druthers, I would rather just go buy a big oil, international oil stock, and play the game that way than these index funds. The trouble is that the banks, you know, not only charge a commission, but they also probably charge a fee on it. And a fee and a fee and a fee is too much, and you can get more pizzazz by just trading with Bates Commodities or somebody else than buying that. But it is an interesting concept, and it's probably we'll see more tools like this in the future.
Yeah, you know, I was watching a MarketWatch interview. John Itner of MarketWatch was interviewing Kevin Rich. I did this morning or this afternoon on the web just before I came over. Kevin Rich is the CEO of the DB Index. I think that's the correct title.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about this fund, and he asked him a couple of questions that I thought were fairly interesting. He wanted to know if they only take long positions in the commodities. And we already knew, of course, that the answer there was yes. And his follow-up question was, is that a hedge against inflation? And I got a kick out of Mr. Rich's answer, which was, the phrasing was just interesting. He said, well, if you want to portray it that way, then yes.
But, you know, one of the tools that you might be able to do it, work with, is let's just say a 6 to 10 or a weather forecast after it closes after the 115 market close. You can always go into that, stock futures contract, and since it's weighted some in corn and wheat, you can always play that game. So it is an after the market close type of game, and it's a fun way, like if there was a really a bullish report in the grains, you could always go in the CRB index and buy it before the opening and sometimes make a little money and sometimes break even. But, it's a new tool, and I guess we have to say, in the investment community, we have to welcome it aboard, and that's part of the game.
Yeah, one other note before we move off, that you gave us the price at $23.45. I did see that, and if you bought it before it actually started trading, it was issued at $25. But normally, and I think normally, there aren't very many that actually come on and then gain right away. I know Kraft came on, and it made losses, and then it gained after the fact. So that generally speaking, is sort of the way some of those stocks, and in this case, the index fund, comes on. So it'll be interesting to watch it, and we'll keep try to keep track of that. Tell me about what happened in the wheat pit in Kansas City today. Why was it up so much?
Of course, one of the things that we've been touting is that long Kansas City, short Chicago wheat spread, and it's based on a couple of things, three things really. We know India is probably in the world wheat market, but there is this pricing or anticipating of pricing of wheat to Iraq. We think it's going to be new crop wheat. The world, some of the world supply of wheat and Ukraine seems to be under some pressure because of some growing conditions. It's very dry in the western wheat growing area, and any of the exporting wheat seems to have favor in the hard red winter wheat. And, of course, the weather conditions are good to excellent in the soft red winter. There's more wheat planted here, so it's the natural tendency for that spread to widen. The Minneapolis wheat, maybe a feeling that the rotation, when we talk to our friends and other introducing brokers with ADM, they talk about the Minnesota and the Dakota farmer likes to rotate their crop, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And it used to be, you know, they used to plant 80-90% wheat. Now the economics say we have to have a rotation. You get a yield boost after production and a rotation, and they're playing that game to the fullest. And so maybe with smaller acreage there. So it's a long Minneapolis, long Kansas City against short Chicago, and that's a very popular trade, and it's been very profitable for commodity traders to play.
Some USDA reports are due out. What are your expectations?
Well, our general feeling is that we're going to see a higher bean carryover, and there are reports of smaller wheat, which, you know, we possibly can buy that idea. And I don't follow the smaller corn idea, but we'll have to wait to see what the USDA, how they play that card. My impression is that I question whether there'll be much of a reduction in the corn carryover.
I want to bring you back to the. I want to come to the beans now, and I know on Commodity Week we talked about Monday and Tuesday probably determining the direction of the beans, and that it was set, and at least on your trend monitor on, I think at 5.95 at the end of Friday, and it really was undetermined, up or down at this point, and it's been kind of an interesting week to watch.
Well, it's moved up just a fraction, 5.95 and a half, and of course the official trend is lower. We saw that big break yesterday, and, you know, it started in the metals and crude oil and then worked all on over into the commodities. The soybean crush margins improved today as well. The general feeling is the soybean crush is going to be slowed down a little. The crop in South America seems to be good. One weather watcher is focusing in on Rio Grande do Sul, but there's rain, some rain forecast in that area, even in the western area. And hey, that's right where the big production area is in Rio Grande do Sul. And, you know, we aren't hearing any major drought or rust issues down there. And as a direct result, the bean basis would indicate that that business is very competitive in the world. Our general impression is that the bean carryover on Thursday morning is going to grow. We think it can even grow bigger than what the USDA is estimating. And we do have a big problem in here is selling 550 million bushels of carryover. And then with more acreage next year in an average crop, you know, that could balloon up over 600 million bushels. And that's where some of these commodity advisory services are not only saying sell this year, sell next year, and then sell deep next year as well. So, you know, there's a game here playing 3 years. The trouble is in a drought or something, that's a lot of pressure on a particular trader.
Okay, USDA now at 505 on carryout. If they go to 550, I guess a lot of traders are thinking 600 maybe, but if they go somewhere between 550 and 600, how much of a drop might
Well, historically, Todd, you would think that that could force beans at least to the $5 a bushel mark in this. And, of course, without a lot of soy diesel going in and palm diesel and veggie diesel usage in the world, and that will grow in a year, you know, there's really nothing to really support the beans in a big way here other than just find a value that will encourage, you know, maybe acreage reduction somewhere in the world. Our sources indicate the Brazilian farmer is under a lot of financial stress because of the strength in the real. It's not an easy game to raise soybeans in South America anymore.
Anything on the Merck before we let you go for the day?
It's a struggle there, and we have seen some nearby hog price rally in anticipation of some bigger demand, but our general approach is that to be short April and long June hogs on a seasonal spread, and good luck on your fundraising, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Have a nice day.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for, in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some lake effect snow showers. In southern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, snow showers there as well, a few flurries. Elsewhere, Mike says it'll be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 10 in northwestern Illinois to around 20 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some snow showers, mainly early in the day. In northern Illinois, becoming mostly cloudy, a few scattered snow showers arriving during the afternoon. Elsewhere, it'll be partly sunny. Highs, Mike says, will range from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in southern Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You know, it's Pledge Drive Week here at WILL. Time for the ag listeners to step up the plate and call 217-244-9455 this afternoon. Dave Dickey in Pledge Central. We're patiently awaiting calls from our ag listeners, Dave, in hopes of meeting a challenge that was issued by Chuck and Rennie Ehler. How are we doing this afternoon?
We had a little bit of a flurry there. We're just about to 30 phone calls right now. I think the next phone call will put us at that 30 phone call level, 217-244-9455. The number to call, we take American Express, MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card. Todd and I like that $100 level, but you contribute at whatever level you're comfortable with. If you've never tried us out before, kick the tires. Join us at that $40 level, 217-244-9455. Hey, Todd, many ways that we serve our agricultural listeners. Tomorrow night we'll be at the Clinton Public Library at 6:30 in the evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook meetings. Paul Cooley, who you just heard from on the radio, will be at that one, as well as Kurt Kimmel and Bill Mayer, all to provide agricultural information. And I'll also take questions from the audience tomorrow night, 6:30 at the Clinton Public Library. You know, Todd, we know that farming is extremely competitive, and with the right information that our producers can get an edge that translates into more money in their pocket, and that's sort of what we build our agricultural service on. And so we ask ourselves now, just a couple times a year, today is one of them, what is AM 580 agricultural programming worth to you each year? We ask you to think about that. Think about it carefully and make a contribution, 217-244-9455. Let's get a phone wave going. Let's get over that 30 phone call level in support of agricultural programming. Rennie Ehler and giving us $400 in a challenge if we can get to the 50 contribution level in support of agricultural programming this week. That, of course, Rennie and Chuck Ehler.
You bet. Let's hope that that happens, Dave. And it looks like we've got one on the line, but that could be AM or FM. So if you're listening to AM and you're not sure, as we are not sure who's calling in at the moment, pick up the phone, dial it now, 217-244-9455. It's the number to call. This is an easy thing to do. In fact, we think it's the right thing to do to support your public radio station, to support this public radio station that has had a long-term commitment to agriculture, going back all the way to the very, very first broadcast right here on WILL back in, I believe, the year was 1928, an extension dairy specialist on the air, and he was the first one. So this thing goes back a long way with agriculture. We hope that it's been important to you and continues to be that way. Give us a call at 217-244-9455. You can also go to our website if you happen to be listening to this after the fact. And you can scroll up to the top and just hit pledge. And that'll take you to a place that you can pledge as well. So do one of those two things. Give us a call on the line at 217-244-9455. That number, by the way, good 24 hours a day. There's an answering service at 3 a.m. a.m. or 2 a.m. or 6 a.m. whenever you decide to make the call. The important thing is that you call and pledge your financial support to this radio station. Dave Dickey and I both like what number, Dave?
$100.
You bet. Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey will be back in just a minute to update us on where we are. Right now on the line with us is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, to tell us all about the cash grain market in her area. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about this cash grain market. Your basis goes to the southeast, and I believe, where do you go to, poultry farms there or hog farms, or is there some other place that you're headed on the rail lines?
Almost 100% of what we ship out of here as far as corn is concerned goes to feed chickens, and, of course, beans go to southeast processors, but it all goes to feed the chickens, and train values are naturally probably at least 10 to 12 cents weaker because of this run-up in the board, and we've had massive farmer selling, so basis levels are at probably historically low levels right now.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that the basis had broken quite that much. I guess I've been paying not enough attention to that part of the market. In your area of the world, how much have you broken?
Well, like I say, it's even all the way out into new crop. When just on the local level here at this elevator, farmer response to these run-up in the markets as far as all these fund buying and everything, because there's nothing fundamentally bullish about this market, has just produced a tremendous amount of farmer selling out of the bins for new crop, whatever, compared to last year is phenomenal. So even new crop basis levels are suffering. And, of course, this mild winter that we've had, there's not a lot of animals on feed, and so processor bids are pretty much stagnant right now, and they're shutting down from what I understand. Some of them are anyway. So basis levels are bad. Cash prices are good.
Speaking of the mild weather, and I want to talk very quickly, and I think you'll know about this, or at least you will have heard some scuttlebutt. Any fear with the wheat farmers that this mild winter will cause some problems with their wheat crops, especially, I suppose, with some really kind of cold temperatures due to come in?
Well, this is true. They're concerned about that, but, you know, all the farmers around here that have been raising wheat year after year are still surprised sometimes at the resilience of the wheat. It's hard to tell sometimes what affects wheat and what it doesn't. So they're a little bit reluctant probably to stick their neck out and forward contract a lot because, you know, with wheat you never know. It's like a cat. It's got nine lives. So it's hard to say how this crop will be affected, but there's some concern out there, Todd.
And one other question before we get the numbers from you, and you're usually willing to give us this. What's your take on making sales, new and old crop at this point for corn and soybeans?
Well, I've been touting this for the last month that they need to take advantage of this. You know, corn, it's not going to fall out of bed because we're going to have less acres. There's no doubt about that. Who knows about the weather? Beans, I think, should be the main concentration as far as farmers are concerned because we could see really cheap bean prices. So, yes, I'm a firm believer in selling into this market.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn today, 201. Cash beans, 556. And new crop wheat today is 353.
We appreciate you being with us, Kay.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, checking in very quickly with Dave Dickey. Looks like we just got one more call there, so maybe that was 30. Am I right, Dave?
Well, it was an FM call, Todd.
Oh, hey, well, I'll let you go, and we'll give the number out because we've got about 10 seconds, well, maybe 40 seconds before we get to the news. The number, Dave, is what?
217-244-9455. Be the next to call. Help us meet that $400 challenge. Don't let the money sit on the table.
No, we just need to get one more call. Just to say that we got to 30 on this third day of the week. That would be really helpful, wouldn't it?
It'd be tremendous.
All right, dial it up. 217-244-9455. We'll check in with Dave at Pledge Central just after we get your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Two computer specialists testified in George Ryan's corruption trial today that Ryan's co-defendant Larry Warner had no influence in the selection of IBM for a contract with the Secretary of State's office. John Anderson and Bruce Taylor testified with the defense that they hadn't heard of Warner when the committee they served on made the selection. Prosecution witnesses have testified that Warner made sure the contract went to IBM when rival bidder Honeywell Bull refused to pay for his lobbying services. A state union says 1,000 military veterans are waiting to get into Illinois-run nursing homes, so understaffed that hundreds of beds are empty. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, said today about 200 staff members have been cut from Illinois' veteran homes in Manteno, LaSalle, Quincy, and Anna during the Blagojevich administration. Governor Rob Blagojevich announces his budget plan next week. The Indiana Department of Corrections has agreed with the U.S. Justice Department to improve security and education programs at its juvenile centers. Commissioner J. David Donahue says most of the problems have been corrected, but he says the state of Indiana must provide more special education programs. University of Illinois Library personnel are headed to Nigeria to help underserved college students get more out of their research. A three-year MacArthur Foundation grant will pay to send staff from the U of I's Mortensen Center for International Library Programs to the West African nation, the trained personnel at four university libraries. After the training, eight of the Nigerian librarians will come to the U of I's Urbana-Champaign campus for additional training. Southern Illinois University has agreed to open all of its graduate fellowship programs to students of all demographics. The move announced today staves off a lawsuit the Justice Department had threatened over three of the programs it considered biased against whites and non-black or Hispanic minorities. The SIU's Board of Trustees met today in Carbondale and signed off on the two-year consent decree between the school and the U.S. government. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Dave Dickey on the line with us now to take a look at what's been happening with the phone lines. We're hoping to get some calls in. Dave, how are we doing yet this afternoon?
Well, we're approaching that 30 level real quick there, Todd. I want to thank Barry Steiner of Highland, Mark Clemmy of Milford, Jim Parks of Dana, Indiana, Stephen Zabel of Donovan, Illinois, all who have said yes to the challenge that has been done by Rennie and Chuck Ehler. They say they'll give us $400 if we receive hear from 50 agricultural supporters this week. And boy, oh boy, the next phone call, I just know, will put us over on that 30 level, 217-244-9455. Give us a call. We take American Express, MasterCard, Discover Card, Visa. If you've never tried us before, kick the tires at that $40 level, 217-244-9455. Put us over the 30 phone call level.
You bet. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Boy, just one more call, it could be yours. If you've never called before, you've never pledged to this radio station, today, now is the time. The number to call, 217-BIG-WILL. Get that cell phone out of your pocket and dial it up, 217-244-9455. Drew Lerner is away this afternoon. Don Day on the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don. Thanks for filling in on short notice. We appreciate
Certainly.
It. Tell me about the weather. We know we talked to you yesterday. Any changes on the horizon?
Well, there are certainly some changes coming for some parts of the U.S. We talked yesterday about the trend now looking a little bit colder for many areas of the country, and while there's no bitter cold coming, temperatures are going to be closer to normal, and we're going to start to see precipitation pick up across many areas of the U.S. Now, this is going to be especially true along the East Coast and Southeast states later this weekend. And then into next week, the pattern for the Corn Belt, the Midwest, the South Central and Southern Plains states as well, including some of those dry areas in the Southwest, they've got some chances for moisture, as the pattern is undergoing a pretty significant change across North America, and we'll really see those changes this weekend and next week.
Yeah, and when you talk about cooler or normal temperatures, is this enough, given the mild winter, for portions of the spring wheat or the Great Plains states to suffer some winter-killed damage because of the mild winter weather that we've had prior to this, or do you know?
At least at the moment. We don't see enough severe cold coming in to cause that yet, but I tell you, it bears very close watching because there's still plenty of cold air locked up in those northern latitudes, and just one little change in the pattern could head it south. Now, do we see that yet? No, we don't, but it is a concern without a doubt.
And can you tell me a little bit about La Nina?
Okay, La Nina, it's a weak La Nina right now. That's where the water temperatures in the Pacific are a little bit cooler than normal. It's been one reason why the Pacific Northwest has been so wet, and it's showing signs of being a weak one that could continue into early spring, but no guarantees it'll go beyond that yet. Last couple years, we've been in a weak El Nino, so going back to a La Nina is a pattern that we'll definitely want to take a close look at as we get in the summer and fall season to see if it comes in, because it could have an impact on next winter. If it continues next winter, that means more mild weather.
Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don usually joins us on Tuesday afternoons, agreeing to join us here this afternoon instead of Drew Lerner, who was away from the phone when we called him. Hey, by the way, speaking of phones, we'd like you to pick up that phone right now and dial 217-244-9455. Not your last chance, but one of your best chances to tell us all about the PRAG programming here at WILL and that it means something to you and makes a difference to you in the way you market and in fact, that agricultural programming simply is on a local radio station for you. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Please pick up that phone right now and dial it up. If you happen to be listening to us after the fact on the web, scroll up to the top of the page and hit pledge. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.